Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to be with you, to continue to be with you. And we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro. Bringing him back to the show. We're always glad to have Don back on the show. Chief political reporter for the Washington Times, author of the book Fat City, and he's one of our top Inside the Beltway reporters to tell us what's going on. Those of us who live in flyover America, what's going on inside the Beltway? And he's our good friend Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. You know, Don, I was just reminding myself, I had some notes here from way back when you first met. Do you remember how we met? Do you remember how we got introduced to each other?
I'm trying to think. I think I was on a street corner selling pencils, and you bought one from me.
Yeah, I bought one.
Is that it?
I think that's exactly what happened. No, our mutual friend, John Bertu, introduced us.
Oh, from the National Taxpayers Union.
Yeah, John Bertu. We lost John a year ago.
And that's right. He was a wonderful gentleman.
An incredible loss. But I was just noticing, and we've already memorialized John on the show. We've already done that, and we think about him often. We think about him fondly. A great warrior in the fight against unnecessary taxes. But John and I were talking, and one time, and he mentioned your name, and said, you know, that's the guy you ought to meet. You ought to know John, Don. And I said, would you introduce us? And that's what he did. He put us together, and I remember that now. And so anyway, I still like thinking of John from time to time, and you know, I like saying his name and mentioning him, because he was a great warrior, wasn't he?
He was. He was a leader. We don't have very many of those nowadays.
Yep.
And fought people who want to raise taxes for every ill and for every problem we have, and he was good at it.
He was a global thinker, too. His attitude about taxes was not just in the United States. He was trying to get to encourage tax reform around the world, and had quite a bit of influence in that area as well. But anyway, it's good to think of John fondly. Don, there are a lot of things going on right now. The Congress is getting ready to adjourn probably for most of the month of August, and I heard that they're working on this omnibus bill. Do you know about that?
Well, I've been following a little bit. I haven't been writing about it. We've had other reporters on that, but yes, I'm following it. And of course, it was a huge battle that came down to a vote last night. In the Senate,
right,
and it's all these wasteful pork barrel bills that Senator Tom Coburn has been putting a hold on.
Right, and, the senator from Oklahoma, they call him Dr. No.
That's right.
I like that about him too.
Yes, and he wears that badge proudly. And it came down to a vote. The Democrats needed 60 votes for cloture to keep him quiet, and they couldn't get 60, so he won another round. And what happened, all these bills, Senator Reid, the Democratic the majority leader, cobbled them all together, one huge omnibus bill, all these bills, spending bills, and so that has been stalled and probably killed for the year. So this guy...
Now tell us
Coburn,
what that means, though, Don, because it's my understanding that his problem is they're creating new spending for programs that maybe are already bloated, and he's trying to say, okay, if you're going to add this new round of spending on these things, let's do away with some of the old stuff.
That's right. I mean, he's opposed to a lot of the things that are in this. These are some of the provisions in here are to set up a commission on the Star-Spangled Banner and the War of 1812, to spend $1.5 billion on rapid transit in Washington, D.C., and $5 million for a museum in Poland. But other things, you know, are perhaps to do with dealing with diseases, Lou Gehrig's disease and others. And he said, look, if you're going to set up these this additional spending, let's find other places where we can reduce spending. Well, they don't want to do that. They want to add more spending on top of a mountain of spending. So he's been, he effectively last night saved the taxpayers, I don't know, maybe just billions and billions of dollars. And it just shows you what one man can do and, under the rules of the Senate. And so the taxpayers have a friend in Tom Coburn.
Folks, we need to congratulate Senator Coburn, Tom Coburn, who's a doctor, by the way, a medical doctor from this great state of Oklahoma. We need more Tom Coburns in Congress. We need that kind of leadership, people who will stand up for what's right. And in the face of all the scrutiny that he's getting from the other side, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Don Lambro. Little Clapton bringing us back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, and the second one is our knowledge base where you get small business answers now. smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. So check those out. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out and use our stuff. Don Lambro is our guest, chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, the author of Fat City, one of President Reagan's favorite books. And Don, let's move over and talk a little bit about election politics. We got what is it, 98 days till the election, 14 weeks, I think somebody said. This has been the longest election cycle, I guess, in history. I'm sick of it, and I think most people are. But we're going to really, you know, after all the things that have been said and done, really the election is going to come down to the next 14 weeks, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
whatever was done before is not really going to mean anything. It's really all that's going to matter really is the next 14 weeks, right?
Oh, well, that's right, and you know, you have to maybe even say not too much is going to happen between now and the end of August. The American people tend to begin focusing after Labor Day, and that's when they're going to really be in the ring, and people are going to be counting up points.
Right. Well, the big news with the candidates right now is who the vice presidential nominees are going to be, who they're going to name as their vice presidential candidates. Do you think either one of them will make an announcement before their conventions?
No, well, Obama is going to name it a little before the convention, yes, but it's not going to be in July, and it's not going to be in early August, certainly not during the Olympic Games,
right.
But it's going to be probably a little close to the convention and probably just a little before.
So, like,
and then
like
I think
the,
after that, the Republican McCain will name his sometime after Obama names his.
That's what most people I think, is that he'll name his later. Now, when is the Democrat convention?
The Democratic Convention is, the last week of August? Last week of August, yeah.
Right,
and
in
Denver. And
there's
a front page story in the Washington papers, in the Washington Post, not the Washington Times, the paper I work for, but although we've reported some of this too, that he's zeroing in on Governor Tim McCain of Virginia and had a serious discussion with Obama about the running mate. You know, he's a one-term governor, has no national security experience either, but Virginia could be a key state that could decide the election.
Isn't Virginia, though? I mean, Virginia is going to be a tough one for the Republicans this year, whether Kane is the VP or not.
Very much so. It's a state that's been reliably Republican in the electoral presidential races, but it's been trending Democratic, and you know they already have one Democrat.
Because of the northeast counties, right?
Because of Northern Virginia, yes, mm-hmm. that is supposed to be a much more liberal, much more democratic, and that's helped elect at least one Democratic U.S. senator, Jim Webb, and mm-hmm. and now they probably will pick up a second Democratic senator right. in November. So, and then you have a Democratic governor, a string of Democratic governors. So, it's a state that's ripe for him to take over, and but there's still a very strong vein of. Conservative voters in Virginia, it's a tight race. The numbers are very tight as far as Obama's concerned, and McCain is still very strong in this state.
Yeah, Don, if Shakespeare were giving a keynote to the Republicans right now, I think he would say, "Now is the winter of our discontent." What do you think?
Well, the Republicans have a lot of problems. I mean, everything you can throw at a political party, losing its brand name and people being very hostile toward it, the Republican name and the Republican standing is sort of in the basement. But the Republican voters are still there. You throw in the economy and you could the price of gas and the war, and you've got a whole bunch of things that have been thrown at the Republicans. But on the other hand, if that's the case, this should be a slam dunk for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. But as you know, in the polls, it's not a slam dunk. And mm-hmm. we had yesterday's poll on the USA Today Gallup poll that showed McCain versus Obama, and McCain was about 3 percentage points ahead of Obama. In other words, mm-hmm. it's a statistical dead heat.
Right.
So there's something else going on here, and it may be people are less enamored with McCain necessarily, but that they dislike Obama more. And so this is a very tight election despite all the problems the Republicans have and all the discontent that's facing them.
Well, you know, when you think about all the Democrats who were Clinton favorites who have said they're the Pumas, they call themselves. They're not going to vote for Obama. Then recently, I saw independents who had been for Hillary, who are not going to vote for Obama under any circumstances. Have you ever seen a time when a party was so polarized, because when one candidate didn't win that the whole party didn't coalesce around the presumptive nominee? I don't think I remember a time like this.
Well, it's hard for me to remember at my age back then, but there's been, you know, in our history, there's been a lot of times where we've been very polarized, very divided, where parties have been divided, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and the Bull Moose Party
yeah.
splitting his party. So there's been a lot of the history in that. But
I mean, it's been a long time since we've had this kind of thing. I mean, there's some people that are taking a stand against Obama who ordinarily you'd think would be solid Democrats. And I'm not even talking about the independents. Hold on to that thought, Don. We're going to come back with Don Blambro right after these messages. And I'm going to ask Don who he thinks Senator McCain is going to choose as a Republican vice presidential nominee. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro, Chief Political Correspondent for the Washington Times, author of Fat City. Don, give us the website there at Washington Times, please.
WashingtonTimes.com.
All right.
And
your column is...
Yeah, you can watch Don Lambro and Ralph Hallow. We have a special feature on the website called Two Guys in a Newsroom, and Monday through Friday, we talk about the issues.
All right, I like that. And so I didn't know about that. That's good. I'll have to start tuning in. WashingtonTimes.com, and of course your column is available not only in Washington Times but in various publications around the country every week, right?
Right.
So check that out, folks. Look for his byline. Don, Senator McCain has really been not really heavily in the news lately. Obama's had a lot of the coverage, and I actually don't think that's all that much of a bad thing. Because as we say, nothing's really going to heat up until the end of August when the conventions get to going and everything. But who do you think is going to be who you think is the top two choices for vice president for him?
Well, it's I don't know.
You think Mitt Romney actually could be the choice?
I do. Yeah, I mean, there are some on the evangelical wing, the people who supported former Governor Huckabee, but I think he is certainly in the top five, top two or three contenders, really. Mm-hmm. He knows economics, and despite all the debate over Iraq and Afghanistan and war, the economy just trumps everything. It's going to be the big issue, and no one knows the economy and how to pull ourselves out of this than Romney, and to talk the message about economic growth, mm-hmm. and that's really not McCain's strong point, although McCain's gotten a lot better, and he has a great pro-growth, tax-cutting
right.
plan to get us out of this, but and Romney is an appealing candidate, but yeah, I would put him at the top of the list right now,
mm-hmm.
but
who do you think other than Keene is the top of the list for Obama? Do you is Richardson anywhere near the top?
Is who near the top?
Richardson.
No, I don't think so. His name has sort of fallen down.
Yeah.
They're talking about Biden, but, you know, mm-hmm. Biden's got a lot of problems. He's made a lot of
I don't
of
see Biden, and I don't see Sam Nunn either. I mean, Sam was a great
old
statesman, but he's long in the tooth.
No, that's right. Biden certainly as the head of the Foreign Policy Committee would bring some foreign policy experience, but he's someone who's a loose cannon as a gap. And the person he might choose is Barr of Indiana.
Yeah, now that would be a good vanilla choice there, wouldn't it?
Very, very safe, and it wouldn't hurt him. But Barr is
right.
a very dull campaigner. He's not
right.
going to get out there and excite the troops.
I agree.
He's got that problem.
Let me change the subject a little bit and talk about events. Oil prices are coming down, but they're still high. And President Bush threw the gauntlet down in front of Congress and said, "I want to lift the executive ban on moratorium on drilling offshore." And we need to do this to get oil prices down, et cetera, et cetera. And the Democrats who control Congress are resisting this tooth and nail. Could this be the single issue that pushes the election towards McCain?
I think it's grown into a bigger issue because it's right in front of the voters' eyes every day when they go to the pump. And the Republicans, they've been blamed for doing a lot of bad things badly, but they really have hammered on this issue. Mitch McConnell
mm-hmm.
has played this issue in the Senate.
Yep.
And listen, the gas prices was a key factor last night in that killing that spending bill. They were saying,
yep.
listen, we shouldn't be spending this money. We should be working on gas and oil. That's what we should be debating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
is this a topic
forefront.
The Republicans could kind of try to regain a little of their base on, and is it possible that President Bush could really upset their little apple cart by calling a special session in August, calling them back for?
I think it certainly is helping the Republicans in the elections and certainly in the presidential elections. The Democrats are on the defensive on this. They are not addressing oil. They're not addressing gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to bring up any bills having to do with it. The Republicans are pushing that we've got to deal with this now. And Bush's move to strike the ban on offshore drilling, I think it meets right with the polls to show overwhelmingly 70% Americans
mm-hmm.
Yes, we should drill. We got lots of oil in our under the ground and offshore and in our wilderness areas. So, yeah, I think the Republicans have played this one right, and I think the voters are with them on that one, and some of them
yep.
are going to vote on that issue.
They got trouble with that issue. I hope the president does call a special session. That'll be fun. That'll be fun politics if he does that.
Oh,
hey, Don, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, thanks very much.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, police chief political reporter for the Washington Times and the author of Fat City. You can still get that book, by the way. It's out there in the marketplace. Go to eBay or somewhere like that and still find it. It's a good one. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.